Hello and welcome to the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it, and what we're going to get into today is, no, not the third podcast in a row about the January 6th committee, although we'll hear more about that later. Something that has not gotten enough attention, something you might call Joe Biden's embarrassment. So, as I kind of implied, a lot of Washington's attention has been fixated on this upcoming hearing of the House Democratic, the January 6th committee. Be a lot of media attention to it. That could turn out to be a lucky thing for the president if it distracts the public's attention from an embarrassment that he, and not just he, but the vice president and the United States of America as a whole, is experiencing on the West Coast. Biden is attending the Summit of the Americas, the Western Hemisphere Summit, being held this year in Los Angeles. A White House press release said he's going to focus on, quote, pressing challenges, including economic prosperity, climate change, the migration crisis, and the COVID-19 pandemic. Certainly a lot of Americans would think the migration crisis is pretty far up there. Now, as important as those might be, the part of the trip that's gotten the most coverage so far is that Biden is planning to appear on Jimmy Kimmel Live. We've had news reports suggesting that Biden's decision to appear on Jimmy Kimmel is a result of the president feeling, quote, frustrated by his low job approval rating, and he's eager to improve his ratings. Now, how dropping in on the third-rated late-night comedy show is going to fix that is not entirely clear. But in any event, President Joe Biden is going to appear on Jimmy Kimmel. Now, the major story from the summit is not that Joe Biden is there or that Kamala Harris is there. She actually went out there earlier. It's not that the president or the vice president are there. It's not who is there. It's who is not there. Now, this kind of started when the White House said that it would not allow Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela to attend the summit because of their records of human rights violations. So when the White House did that, that sets off this wave of other countries saying if the U.S. was going to exclude Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela, then they were not going to come. Now, the biggest boycotter here is Mexico. President Andrés Manuel López Obrador. Now, he insists that every country in the Western Hemisphere be invited to this summit. And if they're not going to be invited, then he's not going to come. So the White House did, you know, disinvite Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela. So López Obrador, the Mexican president, is not going to be here. And he is joined in his absence by the leaders of Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Bolivia. For a while, the president of Brazil said he wasn't going to come, but he changed his mind. But anyway, you got Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Bolivia, all of them not coming in protest of Joe Biden. Now, it's true. You can go back, look it up. The last one of these summits was in 2018. They don't have them every single year. It was in 2018. It was in Peru. And President Donald Trump canceled. He was going to go, and then he canceled his appearance. But be that as it may, President Joe Biden was going to reset. He was going to improve American relations with the world and with its neighbors. So the number of nations that are refusing to come to Los Angeles is a real snub to Biden, and it's really quite remarkable. After all, it's pretty close. You know, López Obrador could get to Los Angeles pretty easily. So this is a remarkable snub to the President of the United States. Now, this could be seen coming. It's not like we just heard about it this week. It's not. It was on the way. Last week, as a matter of fact, CNN, to their credit, published an article when the headline was, "Potential for a High-Profile Flop Looms Over Biden Administration's Prep for Next Week's Summit of the Americas," next week being this week. A high-profile flop. Okay. And now, CNN reported that officials were scrambling, that's the word they use, scrambling, to lock in attendees and to come up with things for Biden to announce. Now, that's got to be one of your favorite lines about an upcoming summit. We're scrambling to find a reason to have come to this summit, some achievement that we can announce that would make it all worthwhile. So the White House is scrambling to get people to attend, didn't really succeed in that, and to come up with things for Biden to announce. Quote, it's an unusually last-minute attempt to salvage what officials once described as a top priority event for relations in the United States' own neighborhood. That's CNN there. Now, why was the Biden administration struggling at the last minute? It's not as if this summit was a surprise. We've known quite a while that it was going to be in this week in June in 2022. A White House spokeswoman, quote, shrugged off questions about why details were being nailed down a week before the summit begins. Again, that's CNN reporting there. So you ask them, you know, why are you nailing this stuff down at the last minute as if you just heard about this? They're just not answering. Just not answering at all. They're shrugging off these questions. So part of the problem here is that Biden's initial position, which is denying entry to Cuba, to Nicaragua, to Venezuela, on the grounds of human rights, is exposing him to charges of hypocrisy among those attendees who want to see all of those countries attend the summit. Isn't Joe Biden, they point out, isn't Joe Biden getting ready to visit Saudi Arabia? Isn't he planning to meet with Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, that country's effective leader and a noted violator of human rights? Now, what was it that Joe Biden wanted to say about standing up for human rights? Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela can't come because Joe Biden is getting ready, preparing for his visit to Saudi Arabia? What's with that? So Biden is looking bad on the issue of human rights because he chose to make this stand and expose himself to charges of hypocrisy. Now, I mentioned to her earlier, the Vice President, Kamala Harris, is looking bad in all of this too, although for different reasons. Now, remember that Joe Biden put her in charge of something big, involving the southern border. Remember, in the beginning, there was some confusion over whether Biden had appointed the Vice President to be the border czar, I mean, in charge of everything, of fighting illegal immigration at the U.S.-Mexico border, or had he just wanted her to deal with the root causes of this flood of illegal immigrants crossing the U.S.-Mexico border? Okay, well, she chose the smaller, the root causes assignment. And we're going to talk about how that choice is affecting what's going on now in a minute.
Biden is still blaming Putin for inflation. He's also shifting from making Saudi Arabia a pariah to begging it for more oil. And several top Republicans in Michigan fumble a very basic step in trying to defeat Governor Gretchen Whitmer. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day for conservatives, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Join us. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I said I was going to discuss how the Vice President, Kamala Harris, had taken on the root causes assignment of illegal border crossing. First, though, before I talk about that, I do want to say, if you've been listening to the podcast, enjoying the podcast, maybe even learning from the podcast, it would be really, really great if you could subscribe to the podcast. You can do it at iTunes or anywhere you get your podcast, and we would really, really appreciate it. So sign up. All right. So Kamala Harris chooses this root causes assignment, and it's focused on the Northern Triangle countries, that is Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. Now, she didn't actually do a lot, and we've pointed this out before. She didn't really do much. She did visit the region. She attended the inauguration of Honduras's new president in January, and she announces all sorts of aid for the three countries, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador. She announces aid for them because, of course, that's the way to attack the root causes of the problem, is to give these countries lots of money, and then perhaps their citizens will not come up through Mexico and cross the U.S. border illegally. So that's the idea of the whole root causes thing. But now, the entire Northern Triangle, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, are boycotting the Summit of the Americas. Now, just yesterday, Harris announced that the U.S. had arranged for $1.9 billion in private aid to head to those three countries, ostensibly to improve the conditions so their citizens won't have to leave for that long trip to the United States. Now, such generosity from the United States is not apparently enough to convince the three countries to attend the summit. So the three countries that Harris has focused her effort on won't even come to the Summit of the Americas in the United States in Los Angeles. So, as all that is happening, you may have heard, what is said to be the largest migrant caravan of the year is on the move in southern Mexico. And I'll read you from an AP story here. The caravan, quote, provided a live illustration to regional leaders meeting in Los Angeles of the challenges governments face in managing immigration flows. Well, it certainly does. So while they're talking about the migration crisis in Los Angeles, a new caravan is actually on the way in southern Mexico. Okay. To many Americans, though, no matter the way the AP puts it, the caravan, whether or not it makes it all the way to the U.S. border, might not. It's just one small part of the huge illegal immigration problem that has arisen since Joe Biden became president. Biden sent a message during the campaign and after the inauguration. He sent a message to would-be illegal border crossers. If you come to the United States, you will be allowed to stay. Now, it's true, yes, his administration is still turning some away. Even though Biden has sought to get rid of Title 42, which is the main tool for sending migrants back to Mexico. In any event, for hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions, who are thinking, considering crossing into the United States illegally, the odds look pretty good. And so, of course, they will continue to try to come to the United States. So, the big picture on this. Maybe you remember the 2020 campaign. Wasn't all that long ago. Joe Biden, who served for a million years in the U.S. Senate and was the Vice President of the United States for 8 years under Barack Obama, he presented himself as an experienced hand in international relations, a man who could restore comity and stability to America's dealings with foreign nations after the chaos of the Donald Trump years. Now, perhaps you heard the same Joe Biden pledge to fix America's, quote, broken immigration system. I always call it a broken immigration system when, in fact, it's mostly a problem of laws not actually being enforced. But he promised to fix what he called the broken immigration system. Now, maybe you even believed him when he said this, but it's pretty clear now that that is all in the past. If you did believe Joe Biden then, there is a good chance you do not believe him anymore. And this embarrassment for President Biden, for Vice President Harris, and for the United States as a whole is going on for the next few days in Los Angeles. Okay, so that's what I wanted to talk about. I thought that this just hasn't gotten quite enough attention, and I know I've been thinking a lot about the January 6th hearings and all that, but this is something important. It needs to be examined. It needs to be talked about. Especially with the continuing flow of illegal border crossers across the U.S.-Mexico border. So, thanks for joining us. Always appreciate it when you can listen in, and hope you can join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.